not sure what to do. I have a sermon prepared. Okay. Things change. It's moments like this. That everything kind of gets put in a different perspective, doesn't it? Suddenly sermons and offering, whatever. Things just don't matter that much. Please understand, if you're here this morning and you have real questions about what it means to be a Christ follower, you have real questions, please understand that it doesn't mean that these people that profess Jesus as Savior have all the answers. We just simply don't have all the answers. We won't have all the answers this side of eternity. Anybody who purports to have all the answers is pulling your leg. Anyone who offers quick fixes and pat answers doesn't understand. Do I believe that Aaron White, in all of his silliness and all of his energy and all of his, it's only appropriate on my last day here that I forget to dismiss the kids. You know what I'm saying? Why break tradition? Do I believe that Aaron White, in all of the energy he had for life and all the silliness and hanging with the kids and just being who he was, do I believe that he's in eternity right now and him and Jesus are looking at each other going, man, it's like looking in a mirror. Except you're nearsighted. I made you nearsighted just so we could know each other, keep each other separate here. Do I believe that Aaron is celebrating in the presence of Jesus? Do I believe he knows a joy and a peace and a happiness unlike anything you have remotely experienced in your entire life? Do I believe that? Oh, yeah. Jesus took great pride in saying, I go to prepare a place for you. He didn't go to prepare a place for him. He was thinking about you when he ascended. He was thinking about you. Seeing how awesome eternity will be. How incredible eternity will be. He was thinking about Gene. No more suffering. No more pain. No more tears. Perfection. Wholeness. Joy. Reunited with the Savior. a child of God. A child of God. It makes you wonder sometimes why we cry as Christians. Doesn't it? The ultimate graduation. The ultimate transition is what He has in store for us, for each one of us. We can know that with absolute certainty. We can know that confidence in a future with Him. It's not guesswork. I was listening to the radio this morning, getting ready, and the preacher who was bringing the message was talking about life after death. And what can we know? And he was somewhat questioning exactly what that would look like. Are we all going to go down a long tunnel toward a light? I don't know. I just know what Jesus promised. I know that if I can trust Christ with the way He lived His life and the way that He followed up on all that He said, I know that if I can trust Him as the person, as the Son of God, I can certainly trust Him for what He has to say about my future. Our biggest challenge is those that are left behind. That's our biggest challenge. Because can we just admit this as good Americans, okay? We're not the best with words. We struggle a little bit with finding words. We're not real sure of what to say. And we're pretty afraid of making mistakes. Because we want to do and say what's best. It's not out of pride. Sometimes it's out of love that we don't know what to say, what to do. So sometimes we just ignore things when we don't know what to do. Let me encourage this church, which I love. Can I cry for myself for a few moments? I won't know what to do next Sunday. I really won't. That's okay. Because God has another chapter. He has a next thing. He has a plan and He has a purpose and He has a role that this place plays in the kingdom. What happens here can be summed up in one word. One word sums up 14 years plus. Family. That's what sums it up. And I can't think of a better word. Man, oh man, I can't think of a better word. Someone said that coming here says that the relationships feel so tight. I don't know if I can fit in because, you know, people know each other so well. Will there be place for me? And I got news for you. There's always room for expanding family. Is that not right, Sherry? Yeah. Anything you want to share? Found that out last night. Family. That's what we are. There's always room for expanding family. There's always somebody that needs some love, needs a touch. What was our, what was our little friend's, your friend's name that you brought to Parker? That's right, Parker. Parker called Rachel and said, can I come to VBS? Parker's 22 now. I remember Parker, watching Parker sing in the choirs at Carmel High School during the Christmas festival things. I remember watching Parker give it his all. Parker's mentally challenged. Rach and I were talking about it, and it involved my mom. Someone said, oh, I feel so sorry for him. I feel so sorry for them that they have to be that way, deal with that handicap. And Rachel said, don't feel sorry for him. He's happy. He's happy, and I just wonder, I have no theological basis for this whatsoever, but I just wonder whether or not God has a special place in his heart for people who deal with that. I just wonder. I kind of go out there and say, I know he does. If me and all my fallibility can have a place in my heart for someone and deals with those challenges, oh my goodness. How great is the love of God? How great is the love of God? And what a very unique place this is. That emphasizes family. When Max asked Jess this morning whether we should share this with the church or not, Jess said, oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, the first people that they thought of was church, was family. That's who they thought of. I had a phone call this week from someone trying to sell me something. Those always bring such joy to my heart. Web services. I need some more web services is what I really need. And car insurance. My warranty's about to lapse on my 24-year-old Jeep. Okay, so I really want to always call them back and say, okay, it's 24 years old and the drive shaft just fell out the other day. Can you warranty that? Maybe not. This gentleman had a cool accent. He's trying to sell me something, and I was probably a bit short. I wasn't mean, but I was a bit short. It was a sales call, for crying out loud. And so I said, listen, we're satisfied with kind of what we have, and it's all good. Thanks for your call. He says, before I let you go, he said, can I ask you a question? And I thought, well, this is off the script. Okay, you know, I mean, okay. He says, tell me about Breakfast Church. I said, what do you want to know? I said, because I'm leaving. It's all up to them. Okay, so no, I didn't say that. He said, tell me about Breakfast Church. And he may have, and I told him the 30-second version. It was not out of any strategy we came up with. It wasn't some grand design. We just simply saw a Latin church that we worked with at the time, that they did two services a weekend, and every service they had, they did a full meal. Service was 3 hours, 3.5 hours long, and the meal was another 3 hours. And that's the truth. And you know what word I would describe them as? Family. One of the amazing things that Peniel was the name of the church. One of the amazing things that they did, they bought a building now on 56th Street. One of the amazing things that they did is they used the meal. They had a separate portion of the gym that they set up where they would go to new people in the church that were visiting, and they would simply ask them this: how can we help you? What do you need? Do you need a job? Need a place to live? Do you need to apply for citizenship? Let me tell you how radical this church is. And that you didn't run me out of here over the 14 years. Let me tell you real quickly about this, okay? Back in the day, I had some people come to me and say, are those people Americans? And they did. They kind of said it like that. I was kind of used to it, okay? And I said, I do not know. I do know this. They are on our doorstep. And if they're hungry, we find a way to feed them. If they're in danger, we find a way to protect them. If they need love, we love them. Let the government do the government's job and stay out of the church. Whoo, you should have given me an amen on that right there. I'm not kidding. I'm not talking about the church getting into government. Not even my topic. Nope, sorry, don't go there. Just make sure the government stays out of the church. Because if we're going to minister somebody, that's our business. We're going to love somebody, that's our business. And you know what? This church didn't run me on a rail. There's a lot of places it would have. That's a little extra for you. I said, listen, told the guy on the phone, we sit around round tables intentionally because we want to see each other's faces. We would never sit at a rectangle table and talk to the person on our left and right, maybe a person across from us. No, you got to see each other's faces because everybody at the table, we're all equal. We're all right there. We're all family. We always serve it free. We don't ever charge for it because it's a ministry of hospitality, of encouragement. It's given literally in the name of the Lord. If it's water, we just put some beans with it and make it hot. You know what I'm saying? And just not the best coffee, but you guys can change that after I leave. If you guys want to step the coffee up, that'd be good. We just do that because we trust the body of Christ to minister to each other. We trust people who have followed Jesus, some people for decades. I completely trust you to share your faith in the best interest of the body of Christ, in the best interest of everyone involved, and push your personal agenda aside. I completely trust you to do that. Why wouldn't I? To trust you any less is to say that the Holy Spirit cannot do a maturing work in your life. And your story is worth hearing. Your story is worth sharing. God did not make a mistake in your story. He has a place for you, a significance for you. In the last 2 weeks, I've had several people come to me and tell me things like this. You don't know the influence that you've had on my life or on others that I'm connected to. I've had some things that were said that were very humbling to me, to think that God would give me that privilege of doing that for however many years. That's awesome. But let me just get out of the way for a second. You have no clue the influence of your life, or yours, Alan, or yours, Mary. You have no idea the influence of your life. It is a big deal. Can I do my sermon in about 6 minutes? It's kind of my last one. Okay, so thinking about becoming an evangelist and developing 3 good sermons and then just doing those over and over and over and over. You know what I'm saying? That's the beauty of being like an evangelist. Just 3 really good ones, okay? You guys still don't know sometimes when I'm joking. Do you? Really? Okay, you know that was a joke, right? I had 3 chairs up here about 13 years ago, about a year into my time here. I had 3 chairs in a sermon. And I was thinking about this the other day. We're not going to play that CD. That's all right, Dennis. I was going to tell you, though, that when I got here, my sermons were on cassette. And there were some people going, they were on what? They were on a cassette. And this was the controversy. You want to know what the controversy was back in the day? The duplicator, which you put in 1 cassette and you could make 3, right? It was out in the lobby. And it was out there on like kind of a cabinet built in both sides of the lobby. And there was a cassette duplicator. And they would take the sermon and put it in there, and they would make 3 cassettes. And then we would mail those out, you know. We made several of them, and we'd mail those out. Well, the cassette duplicator broke. And the big controversy was, do we replace the cassette? Because at that time, nobody was listening to cassettes. Nobody had a cassette player, for crying out loud, okay? You know, so just a few people at home had a cassette. Nobody else did. So I had a CD duplicator. Bought one for the church plant years ago that you put a CD in the top and it made 8 of them. We thought we were the cat's meow, I'm telling you. We were highfalutin. We had it up there in the balcony with the sound. And so we made CDs, and then we started sending CDs out. And I was cleaning out my office, and I started pulling out all these files of sermons. I remembered I had some down in storage. I had banker's boxes full of sermons. And then we went to CDs, right? I looked in the bottom drawer, and sure enough, I had thrown all of those master copies. Dwayne would give me the master copy or whatever. I threw them all in that drawer, and I started going through them. Oh, my goodness. Then we moved to out of CDs. We finally moved it online, of which it does today. And we got to laughing. I said, okay, so I'm carrying out all these boxes of sermons, but for the last 8 years, everything now I do is electronic. So I went to Walmart and I bought a USB. A 16 gig USB little bitty thing, right? You know, the thing that you put in the side of your computer. In the last decade of my ministry, I carried out like this. Kind of a weird feeling to kind of go, this is all I have to show for it, right here. I did a sermon 13 years ago on three chairs, and basically they represent three generations. I think you need to hear it, though. Just hear the passage this morning. I think it's pertinent even with all the circumstances at the moment. This is what it says, and I won't give you the whole sermon. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 is where it starts. Now fear the Lord and serve him with faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's generation one right here. That's this chair right here. Generation one. When I came in, Dwayne says, oh, breaking out the rocking chair. They're even different chairs. I said, yes, they are different chairs. This one I wanted to be a bit uncomfortable. I didn't want it to be this chair. I really thought about bringing one from home from the kitchen table. A good, straight back wooden chair. Uncomfortable, that when you invite people over at your house, first thing you do is invite them to come in and you offer them a nice straight back wooden chair to be uncomfortable in, right? You don't do that for a minute. You know what this chair's good for? Not the rocking part. The good stiff back wood chair. You know what that's good for? Study. If you want to do study, if you want to study, you want to be a student, you want to dig, you want to get down to what matters, you want to set priorities in your life, you want to do the difficult work, you don't do it in this chair. You do it right here. And it's work. As for me and my house, there's a determination to that statement that's awesome. As for me, yep. And those I'm responsible for, those who I have influence on. As for me and my house, I'm making a determination. I don't care what the forefathers, who they served. That's what we just read. I'm not a victim of prior generations. I have no one else to blame. As for me and my house, we will do the difficult work. We will engage the discipline. We will serve the Lord. We will believe in Him in difficult times, even when explanation is not available. We will place our faith and trust in God. We will do that. That's chair one. That's chair one. Chair two, the one I'm sitting in, is generation two. Here's what Joshua 24, same chapter, verse 31 says. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which God had done for Israel. Yeah, see, they continued to serve God, but here was the problem. Here's the challenge. They continued to serve God based on Joshua's experience. They served God based on generation one. They kind of rode the spiritual coattails of generation one. And you know what? They knew of God's works. A lot of us would be totally satisfied with that. I know of God's works. Did they experience God's works? Not necessarily. Did they hunger after them? Did they desire them? Were they determined? Did they make a statement like, as for me and my house, this is the way it is. We're going to serve the Lord. No question. We're serving the Lord. That's the first priority. Did they know? No. They knew that was the commitment of a prior generation, but this is a generation that knew of God's works. How many of you guys know there's a big difference between knowing God and knowing of God? Huge difference. Then there's a third generation. This chair sits out in the lobby out there. I had this one in mind all week long. Because, you know, if I feel like I'm sitting in this chair, here's the other thing about this whole generational thing. As long as I'm better than that generation, I'm fine. I want you to get that. That's formative. I want you to get that. As long as I'm not that, look at me, I'm fine. And there's nothing scriptural about that any way, shape, or form. None. Let me tell you where God wants you sitting today, where God wants this church. Let me tell you exactly where He wants you sitting, right here in the stiff-backed chair. Determined in this chair. That's where you belong. In this chair. There's a lot of illustrations. We could go on and on and on and on. And I might, okay? You know, so be nice. Okay, so I don't know. Maybe not. There's a lot of things we could say. You realize this generation right here, this relationship with God right here, it can't control this chair. It certainly can't control that chair. Well, if they would just get their act together, if they were just more like this, no. Get your eyes off of everybody else. Everybody else. And place your hindquarters in this chair. And say, I will know God. Though nobody go with me, I will know Him. I will serve Him. That's it. And the influence of your life, it goes where it goes. It is what it is. You can't control that. You can't make anybody do anything. You can't make your kids do a thing. But your job isn't to make them do something. Your job is to be in this chair. The last chair. Judges chapter 2. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, when all this generation had died, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They served the Baals. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of other people who were around them. This chair doesn't even know God. I think it's very interesting. It says that they serve the gods of other people. It's the old Bob Dylan song. You gotta serve somebody. You're gonna serve somebody. This right here, this generation, we may look and say, well, they serve themselves. That's who the God is today. They serve themselves. And remember what I said, get your eyes off the generation. You feel good many times because you're sitting in this chair. You ain't supposed to be in this chair. Here's the other thing too. This has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with your family inheritance, with your spiritual inheritance. Well, I come from a Christian family. Good. That and $4 will get you coffee at Starbucks, okay? That's great. It's not your job. The job is simply this. I don't care if you're 19 or if you're 90. Your job is to occupy this chair. And you let the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, you let his heart for all people, you let that be the thing that grips your heart, motivates the words that come out of your mouth, the things that you give yourselves to, the actions of your day. Your job is simply this. I hope I've got this across. That's the chair. I really feel, Sarah, I'm going to wrap it up with this. I really feel that this is a very unique place. I think God has done some amazing things here. I think there's some people that scratch their head when they think about what you guys do and what you give yourselves to, and I think they scratch their head. I don't think it's popular. I don't think what you do is very popular. I think it's very, very real. And I honestly don't think it's based on a lot of emotion. I think it's based on a consistency, on a mandate, on a mission that God has given this place. You all may be 10 years ahead of your time. Maybe. It may be that the future of the church is the church becomes less and less popular in our culture. Because I tell you this, there's a whole lot of people that occupy this chair. And they don't have a problem with it. I put the comfy chair down here because, can I tell you this? The idea that people out there without Jesus are all miserable, they're wrenching their hands and they just wish they could find a Savior? Nope. They're having a good time. this is actually pretty comfortable. This is what society says is acceptable. I think God's done a very unique work in this place. I think God's going to continue to do a very unique work in this place. And he's going to need your participation. You get to be invited into participating and leading and going and giving. You get to be invited into that. It's been my privilege to be a part of it for a long time. It's been my family's privilege. You guys have had tremendous influence on us. And we will not forget you, because you know one of the things I was determined in this transition to do is I shared with my brother John Rich, our district superintendent. One of the things I was determined to do was I said, let's do this well. Let's do this with the kingdom in mind. Let's do this well. I mean, there's been some guys, I could share stories with you of guys who have left churches in some of the most interesting ways. Can I tell you about my favorite Far Side cartoon real fast? It's kind of like a Far Side, but it's not actually a Far Side, but it looks like a Far Side. It shows a pastor and he's standing in the pulpit. And you look through the window off to his right and there's a U-Haul packed up with all of his stuff. And it's sitting just outside the church. And the pastor is standing in the pulpit. The caption says, there's been some things I've been wanting to say for a long, long time. It's possible to transition in life in really poor ways. We know that. There's no reason to think of it in any kind of poor way whatsoever. Our witness for the kingdom is our friendship. Our witness for the kingdom is our sense of family. That's our witness. All right, I've taken up all the time. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, wow. It's been a day, Lord Jesus. It's been a morning. That we thank you so much, Father, for your presence. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, that comforter. Father, we don't know what we would do without your Holy Spirit. So, Father, this family needs your touch and needs your love. And we need words, Father. We won't ignore a situation. We need words. We're not sure what to do, Jesus. But God, you work in all situations for the good of those that love you. Father, we will see, as we look back someday, we will see your hand at work in every circumstance. And for those of us who have served you for a while and followed you for a while, we have that assurance. We know, Father, as we look back in our lives to what you've done, you will bring us through, Jesus. And for that, we give you praise. I thank you, Father, for this church. I thank you for brothers and sisters. I thank you, Father, for new folks that are coming. I thank you, Father, for old folks who have stayed. I thank you, God, for a radical people, Jesus, that just want to see you glorified and your kingdom expanded. So, Father, I pray your blessing on this church. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving. We pray all this, Father, in your name, in the hope, Father, that we find in your name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Can you say amen today? Amen. God bless. God bless. So, Danelle, I'm looking at you because I really have no clue as to what to do or anything at this point. I'm just standing here. I'll stand there in a minute. Did you get me flowers, Tom?
They've walked with us these many years, and our kids have grown up in this church. Their kids have grown up in this church. Lord, and we just know that God is with you in your next steps, mm-hmm. in your family. Mm-hmm. We want to say thank you, mm-hmm. and we want to celebrate with you in the coming days and weeks as we hear more about what your next steps are. Mm. Lord, we pray a covering of protection over the Berry family and over hope as we go through this transition. Mm-hmm. Lord, we think of all the families with us in this body, and we just pray your blessing on every one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Jesus.
In your son's name. A little thank you.
Actually, go ahead.